Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, you know, that's pretty intense, the statement that he said. He says, I am the Almighty. Right? The Almighty. He meant Almighty God. Now, I want to back up a little bit. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It means when there's a beginning, there's a what? There's an end, right? Now, he says, I am he who is and who was and who is to come. Understand that he first expresses himself as present. Okay, he expressed himself as present because he revealed himself. Okay, but he said, I am he who is and who was. So in true reality, we're looking at who was as a representation of eternal. Okay, and who is as a representation of present, and who is to come as a representation of eternal. Okay, so we've got God coming and revealing himself in presence, saying, in common language, I am he who was, who is, and who is to come, whoever is, who forevermore. Amen? So he represents, he comes and expresses himself as an eternal, as a present, and an eternal. Is everybody with me? Okay, good. So now we can go to Genesis 1. From Revelation to Genesis. All in one flip of the page. Eternal, present, and eternal. In verse 1 it says what? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The representation of beginning means that if there's a beginning, there's a what?
End.
Right? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We know that the heavens were created first. Amen? And then the matter and the natural and all the other stuff was created. And we know that the earth was created. But first the heavenly beings and the heavenly hosts and so forth were created first. All the spiritual arena was created first, and then the natural arena was created. So we got to understand something, that the word beginning represents the law of time. Okay? It represents the law of time. When God said, in the beginning, first of all, he was eternal. Right? So if you can imagine nothing, which we can't. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't imagine nothing because nothing is nothing, right? But he came as from eternal. He is eternal forever. So out of this eternal realm, he chose a specific point of eternity to begin the law of time. Is everybody with me? And at the beginning of the law of time, there must be an ending of the law of time. Amen? So that's why you and I are bound by space and time. But he's not. Okay. He established the universe with boundaries of time. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? When God said in the beginning he created, what did he create? He created the universe. The universe has a beginning and an end. In fact, they believe that there is an end to the universe and that there is a beginning of the universe. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So when God decided to create, he said in the beginning he began in creation the beginning of the universe and the end of the universe. Alright? So we know that the word beginning represents a law of time, so he established the universe with boundaries of time. And the heavens were created first, and then the natural. Right? So if you really look at it in an awesome way, you and I are traveling through eternity. Right? We're traveling through eternity right now in this cube of time, which everything is self-contained. And we're just cruising through eternity. Because the Lord chose a specific time out of all eternity, out of nothingness, and brought something into it. Is everybody with me? Good. Go to Ephesians 3. Like I said, we can't imagine nothingness, you know? Glory to God. Where am I going? What we're going to talk about tonight is called the sevenfold of divine law. In other words, how the seven unfoldings of God's law. We're not going specifically about the law, but the revelation of the seven unfoldings of the law. Hang tough. We're just getting started. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, powerful. Only he could say, I am. Can you imagine? I mean, think about this. When Moses went to go see the Lord, right? He said, who do I say is sending me? And he said, I am. What's the matter with you? I am who I am. I mean, I am who was, who is. And can you imagine an eternal force, God Almighty, talking to someone he created? You know what I'm saying? In a time frame that he created. You know, and actually, God Almighty humbled himself to commune with me and you. Amen. He humbled himself. In Ephesians 3, in verse 14. Read it with me, please. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now check this out. That he would what? Grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now listen, here it is. You ready? May be able to comprehend. Everybody say comprehend.
Comprehend.
With all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. What do you think he's talking about? The universe.
Amen.
The creation of the universe, of all things. That you and I might comprehend who he is in this awesomeness of his creation. To know the love of Christ, which passes what? Knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Whoa. What's he talking about? That you and I might know the length, the depth, the width, right? The height. Comprehend what passes all knowledge. Well, who is he talking about? He's talking about him. That we might comprehend his awesomeness. That we might comprehend the depths, the widths, the heights, the lengths of his awesomeness and who he is. See, he expressed himself in creation of the universe. Something that is unreachable in knowledge. Is everybody with me? See, he expressed himself in something that no one could reach. It's just too overwhelming. But that we might comprehend the fullness of him and not understand every single thing about him, but comprehend in his awesomeness and who he is. All to God be the glory. Go to John 1. John chapter 1. Glory to God. I didn't lose anybody yet, did I? Praise God. Oh, to God be the glory. Just powerful. What? I pray that I'm able to bring this out in common language. In verse 1 through 5, let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Wow. So when you and I look in Ephesians and it says that we may comprehend the depths and so forth, he's talking about himself because everything was made through him and for him, and understanding the depths of who the awesomeness of God Almighty is. He expressed himself in the first part of the law of time. In the creation, that he actually stopped eternity, cut a cube out of eternity. Is everybody with me? And breathed in, sent his word, manifested creation, established it, knowing that it was going to be for a season, and that he was going to take out of this cube that he cut out of eternity and train them up so that they could be fellowship with him for eternity. Hello?
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, where were we? Okay, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. Do you understand that all things were made through him? Oh, glory. Verse 4. In him was, it said, not out of him, in him. In him is life. And the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Now listen, what is nothingness? Darkness. What did he do? He cut a cube out of eternal, which was nothing. Nothingness. Does everybody understand this? And through him he created time, space, matter, and established in him and through him life. See, God is bigger than the universe. We must, you know, we constantly look at our focus on just a man that became flesh, you know. But we don't get the fullness of the comprehension beyond creation. Behind, remember, the word says what we see is temporary, what we don't see is eternal, right? And you and I are eternal beings, aren't we? Predestined. Right? Eternal beings. So, you know, we need to get a little bit of understanding about our eternal Father and who He is. And a representation of His awesomeness. Amen? Praise God. So we see here that the Word is a representation of law. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Words are representations of laws. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we've got to understand that the Word is a representation of lawgiver. Is everybody with me? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Word, the lawgiver, because if you're going to create something, there must be laws to establish it, isn't there? We know that there's a law of gravity. There's all kinds of laws, isn't there? Just in creation itself, there's laws. So the Word, the lawgiver, created all things through him, for him. Before he created, it was eternal, wasn't it? Before anything was created, it was eternal. In fact, creation itself was established by laws and by the lawgiver. Does everybody understand that? Good, then we can go to the next part. Acts 17. Oh, hallelujah. Man, no wonder why I have a bunch of scriptures. I was like, there's no way we're going to get through this, Lord. But we're going to buzz right on through this. Glory to God. Acts 17. Come on, put your bibs on. Get your plates out. Get the blender out. Glory to the Lamb. Acts 17, in verse 26. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 17, verse 26. Okay, cool. Thank you. Come on, read it with me. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Check that out. He's pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, didn't he? Just like everything. So the law of time is a representation of boundaries, isn't it? So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. Because we're in Him. For in Him we what? Live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Oh, that we might comprehend the depth, the width, the length, and the height of Him. Mm-mm. We live and have our being in Him with appointed times and boundaries. Glory to God. Psalm 19. Glory to God. Psalm 19 and verse 1. This is a powerful psalm. The sevenfold of divine law. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. Now listen to this. He just says that day unto day utters speech, and the night unto night reveals knowledge. Watch the next verse. There is no speech nor language. What's he talking about? It sounds like he's contradicting himself, isn't he? But he's not. He's expressing himself through his creation without any words. Common language is for you and I, but his word, which is eternal, he was bringing an eternal event into a present through his creation. He was expressing himself through his own creation. There is no speech nor language where their voice is what? Not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for what? What's He talking about? The universe. Is everybody with me? Which is like a what? Bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. What's he talking about? The beginning and the end of the universe. Wow. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect what? Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Those are all representations of laws, aren't they? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is what? Great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my right redeemer. God, the first law that was written was in God's creation, in nature itself. Amen? Now, the first law that was broken is in Isaiah 14. So God expressed Himself through His creation of nature, didn't He? Through the universe. Unsearchable. It's amazing. Man spends billions of dollars to search out space. My children are starving here on this planet. That's all they needed to do was get there in the Spirit. Just get in the Spirit and read God's Word. You'll be there. So the number one, when we were talking about the sevenfold of divine law, the first divine law that was given was written in God's creation. Okay? In the beginning, God created. Amen? In Isaiah 14, in verse 12, the first law that was broken was in the Spirit. Read it with me. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And the Lord's response was, I'm going to kick your butt. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which is hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now you got to understand something. So the first law that was actually broken was self-exaltation. He was exalting himself above God, claiming himself to be God. Hello? And the Lord said, there's a place for those who want to do that. It's called hell. It's hell. So we got to understand that this law, when this happened, things happened in the universe. Things changed on the planet. Transitions began. Instead of eternal life, in other words, instead of like an eternal event that was happening, God was beginning to do something because He had to restore the earth. Because the first earth and all matter was made perfect, wasn't it? And then when Lucifer, who was in charge of areas of the universe as a praise and worship leader of the universe, when he exalted himself above God, and then the earth was shut down, didn't it? That caused a transition in the whole universe. So when the law is broken, it affects the whole universe. That's why the Bible says that when one hurts, the whole body hurts. Amen? Because it affects everyone. No one, you know, we don't understand that all. But when you drop a pebble in water, its ripple effect affects something, doesn't it? Amen? And then that hits something and affects something. And it continues on. So we see here that the first law that was broken, which affected the whole universe, was the self-exaltation, claiming one to be God or above God. Amen? So the first law that was written in the nature of creation. Amen? Go to Genesis 2. Hallelujah. Genesis 2. It's just for me and you. Verse 1 through 3. Would you read it with me? Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now you got to understand something. God expressed Himself in the restoration of the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, He rested. He expressed Himself in the restoration of the earth. In other words, He restored His law that was shut down from the time of Lucifer's fall. And when he restored the earth, because the earth was original, chaotic, and then present, correct? Amen? So the first three stages of the earth, and we know that there are six stages. So we got to understand here that the Lord restored the earth in 6 days. He didn't create the earth in 6 days. He restored it. So he expressed himself in the restoration. In other words, he expressed himself already in redemption. Number six means man. That's why he did it in 6 days, saying, I'm going to redeem man when he blows it. Amen. Hello? Because he was already expressing himself through his creation. Is everybody with me? Because there was no words of expression to man yet, was there? He was still expressing himself through creation. And in 6 days, he restored the earth because he was going to redeem man. Number six. He knew he was going to blow it. And he was going to rest on the seventh day. Since God, when does God need a rest? Believe me. I know he ain't rest since he created me. Amen? Amen. I mean, you know, those angels had to change sneakers a few times already. You know? But you got to understand that seven means complete and perfect. So God wasn't resting on the seventh day. It was an expression of the Spirit that was going to bring the rest to man. Because he was expressing himself through his creation. He was already speaking things in. Things are already happening all around him. Because he is. He was and he will always be. Is everybody with me? Amen. Glory. Okay. Let's go to verse 15. Let's see a minute. Now we know that God created man, didn't he? Amen? And he created a man, he called Adam, correct? And in verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it you shall what? Surely die. So the Lord expressed laws right there with Adam, saying, listen, you must obey what I'm telling you. You must trust me, because if you don't, you're going to end up dying. In other words, my creation, what I've created, I've established, restored right now, and I've created you in my image and in my likeness. I've created you like me. Now I'm going to train you up my way. But you must be obedient to my way. Because Adam was created to be an eternal being, not a temporary being. Amen? But God already knew he was going to bite the bait. So, you got to have to hang tough with me here. Because this is actually what we call a law of entrance to the presence. I'm not going to get in depth with this, but I'll clarify this a little bit more as we go on. In other words, God established a law to maintain in God's presence. Does everybody understand that? He said so we call it the law of entrance. So when you and I were created and brought into the world, when Adam was created and brought into the world, he gave him a law of entrance. In other words, an entrance to maintain God's presence. Is everybody with me? He says, listen, Adam, if you blow it, you won't be able to maintain my presence. You won't be able, this is going to remove you from maintaining. You're going to die. Now, if you're going to go by the way you believe and the way you walk, your exit will be to another area. But I also have established a law of exit, which we'll talk about in a little while. But anyways, these are just things that we're expressing. Is everybody all right? So God actually told Adam about the law of entrance to maintaining God's presence. It was given to Adam. Amen? Well, what was he actually doing? He was actually expressing himself through his creation again, wasn't he? Because Adam was created by God. Go to Genesis 3 and verse 22. Well, I guess we can back up a little bit. Now we know that in Genesis 3 that Eve deceived Adam, but he should have known better. And they both ate of the fruit that was of the tree that was told they were told not to eat from. Right? And it caused problems. Adam became a flesh creature and was moved out of the spirit realm, lost God's presence. And verse 22, it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life," because he did not want man to live eternally in that state. Everybody got it? So we see here that because of his disobedience of the law, it removed him. He was exited from the place where of dwelling place with God, wasn't he? In other words, God placed him in the garden, gave him a law of entrance, and then removed him because he disobeyed the law of maintaining in God's presence. Is everybody with me? Okay. So what happened here is, now, we had no more face-to-face conversations with God. Amen? Now the Lord had to establish another way of writing his laws in him. And he began to express and write his laws in Adam, what we call now the conscience. Because at that period of time, Adam didn't need a conscience. He was one in the spirit with God in the garden. Once he was removed from the presence of God in the place of dwelling, God, his spirit, soul, and body was separated. Is everybody with me? He was no longer one in the spirit. He did no longer have a glorified body. Now he had blood in him that had to maintain the life of his flesh. He lost communion in the spirit. So God had to speak to him through what we call the conscience. Amen? Mm-hmm. The conscience. So, turn to Romans 2. So the law was actually still coming forth, but now was being brought forth through another way. So the first written law was written in God's, in the nature of creation. The second written law, which is the same law, was written in the conscience of man. Yes. And in Romans chapter 2. Hang tough, we're getting to something. Don't lose me. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 2. Hey, my wife went out last night to go get something, and I was in my room by myself in the hotel, and I began praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And about an hour later, she called and she says, "Well, have you started Bible study?" And I looked and I said, "Man, I had one scripture." But I couldn't express it yet on paper. Does everybody understand? But, you know, as the Spirit began to just unravel all of the stuff before me, I was overwhelmed. And then an hour later, I had another scripture. Hallelujah. Then I went back to it at midnight. And then the Holy Spirit gave me the rest just before tonight. But anyways, hallelujah. To God be the glory. And Romans chapter 2. And, you know, it's just powerful because as it begins to unravel, he's talking about his son coming into the world. And I was like, whoa. I mean, it's like almost like a Christmas message, you know what I'm saying? I was like, whoa. As it began to unravel. Praise God, every day's Christmas for me and you. In Romans 2 and verse 12, "For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law. Why would they do the things in the law? Conscience. These, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Does everybody understand that? So you know what? You and I already knew it. We already knew it. But we refused it. That's why we were convicted. That's why we felt guilty. Because we were. And we covered it, candy-coated it, diluted it, polluted it, drowned it, buried it, but it would never left. Glory to God. Exodus 24. So we see here that the second law was written in man's conscience. Still the same law. Does everybody understand that? It's the second unfolding. The first unfolding of God's law was written in God's creation, right? Nature of creation. The second law was written in man's conscience. Glory to God. Exodus 24. In verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written that you may what? Teach them. So we know that laws were boundaries and given to us to teach. So we see here that the third written law was written on tablets of stone, weren't they? To be read and distributed to man because they were not willing to accept the conscience area of conviction, guilt. They were not. In fact, they were able to drown it out, weren't they? They were able to still be disobedient to it. So God brought it in by the law and put it on stone. He said, okay, Moses here, now they can read this. Now you got to understand something. I know that there was 10 commandments and so forth, and then there was ordinances and whatever. But in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 7, you'll find that how God actually wanted to express His law to man. Turn there. Seven expressions of His law. Seven expressions of His law. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 7. Seven expressions of God's law. Jeremiah 7, verse 5. For if you what? Thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. If you thoroughly what? Execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. So the first thing He wanted me to do, me and you to do, was to what? Execute judgment. That was an expression of His law. He said, man, I'm giving you, for what? To execute judgment. That was an expression of His law. To execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. If you do not what? Oppress the stranger and the fatherless and the widow and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods that will what? So we got to understand, He said, I want you to execute judgment. I don't want you to oppress or take advantage of people. These are expressions of His law. Everybody with me? Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Then I will what? Cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold. Now what is this place forever and ever? Eternal. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you what? Steal. What's He saying? Another expression of His law. The third one is, don't steal. Murder, don't murder. Commit adultery. What's he talking about? Sexual immorality. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, meaning what? Lie. Burn incense to Baal. Now let me share something about burning incense to Baal. The representation of burning incense means prayer. Prayer. Selfish, fleshly prayer is a representation of burning incense to Baal. Remember he says, you have not because you ask not, and you don't get it because you what? You ask amiss because of the what? Selfishness of what? Your own prayers, because you're going to spend it on your own pleasures. That's called incense to Baal. Is everybody with me? He says, listen, here's the expression of my law. Execute judgment. Don't take advantage of people. Don't steal. Don't murder. No sexual immorality. Don't lie. No fleshly prayers. Because the outcome of this, you do not understand, but you will be actually worshiping other gods. Watch. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? Is everybody with me? Do you understand that? So this was the expression of his law. Seven expressions of his law. Go to John 1 and verse 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now check this out. So we know that the Father, God Almighty, right? The Word that was in the beginning, amen, that through the Word and through Him, everything was created that was created. He said, listen, I've expressed myself through my creation, through the conscience of man, through the law written, and they still won't listen. That's it. I'm coming. I'm coming. And the Word says, and the law became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. The word grace represents the plan of God in action. The word mercy represents that God even considered a plan for me and you. Everybody got it? So we've got God who came in the fullness of grace and what? Truth. What's the law? Truth. And grace was the plan for redemption, wasn't it? Amen? And we know that He was in the spirit of grace. So we see here that Jesus was the law that became flesh. He was the law that became flesh. Okay? So, God Himself came, is the written law. Amen?
Amen?
Go to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. So this was the fourth unfolding of God's divine law, wasn't it? Of course, He had to come. He prophesied it Himself through His creation, didn't He? 6 days He restored the earth. The seventh day He rested. Glory to God. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, read it with me. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. So the law was manifested in the flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. And He was justified by the Spirit. Isaiah 9. Glory. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you're not getting in this, pray in the Spirit. if you're not understanding this, pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In verse 6, now God expresses Himself incarnate image. Seven expressions of His incarnate image. Is everybody okay? Seven expressions of His incarnate image. For unto us a child is born. He's talking about the law coming, right? Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with what? Judgment and justice. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And He did, didn't He? Amen. The seven expressions of His incarnate image. Number one was child. Number two was son. Number three is wonderful. Number four was counsel. Number five was mighty God. Number six is Father, everlasting Father. And number seven is Prince of Peace. Seven expressions of His incarnate image. So God Almighty knew He was coming. He already expressed His law through creation, through man's conscience, through tablets, through Himself. Amen? Praise God. Colossians chapter 1. And unto us a child has come. Glory to God. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hallelujah. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things because He's what? Eternal. And in Him all things consist. Wow. He's a lot bigger than you and I ever thought. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you what? Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Praise be to God. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Only God Almighty can fulfill the law, right? What was he doing? He was bringing the law from the Spirit into the natural, but not written, because everything that every other way was ignored. He came to express himself, God Almighty, to speak, to tell. The law taught man. Amen? For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one little or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So don't promote fornication and sin. Amen? Far be it that we should tell people if you're going to heaven no matter what. It's just plumb nuts. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So you can't go by just the law, can you? And what the scribes wrote, there's more to it, isn't there? That's where the difference between religion and relationship. Amen? Go to Luke 4. And the law became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 14, and it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. They were like, what? What? Come on. No way. The law was being fulfilled. The law that was written about him was being fulfilled. You've got to understand that the whole gospel, the whole Bible is known as the law. Does everybody understand that? It's just not Ten Commandments. All the teachings through the Spirit are known as the law of God. So it wasn't just by the Ten Commandments. So we see here now that Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but fulfill it. Now he goes and he says, I fulfilled the Scripture. Amen? Blew their mind. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. They're going to want to do that to you too. In Romans 15. So we know that the Scriptures were, because it was written, right? It was written on tablets, and then God gave them ordinances and so forth, and they began to put them in books, didn't they? They began to write books, and these were known as Scriptures. Right? The Torah, the first five books, the Pentateuch. Right? Which is known as the Torah in the Old Testament. Acts chapter 1. Romans 15. Don't panic. Romans 15. Glory to God. And verse 3 and 4. Read it with me. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Wow. He's talking about before. They actually saw hope manifested, didn't they? When Jesus came. So there was comfort in the Scriptures. So it was written in the Scriptures about them, wasn't it? About the law and about the ordinances and about men's testimonies and so forth, right? Now if you go to Acts 1, after Jesus left, after he expressed the fullness of his law, fulfilling the Scriptures and fulfilling the law, Acts 1 and verse 1, 1 through 5, and it states, the former account I made, now this is Luke writing the Acts of the Apostles. Luke is writing this. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. What was he doing? He was writing the Acts, wasn't he? In fact, the Gospels were written about Jesus, weren't they? But they were not written from men who did not see. They were written from men who did see. They were known as witnesses. Is everybody with me? Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So there were many witnesses of Jesus, weren't they? And he wrote books about him. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And the Bible says in verse 8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me. Witnesses to me. So what was written were these men who became witnesses of the truth. So the fifth unfolding of God's law, divine law, was written in the Scriptures of the New Testament. Is everybody with me? They were witnesses of the law that was manifested. Does everybody understand that? So we have now witnesses of the law.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're almost... Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're almost there. Hang tough. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ shall what? Suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have what? Learned. How did they learn them? Experiencing them, right? And then reading about them from the witnesses. And been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped and for every good work. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. I guess we ought to start at verse 6. In verse 6 it says, but now he, Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant or my law. Right? And I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their what?
Mind,
and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my
people.
Now, we see here now that the fifth way was written in the Scriptures, right, in the New Testament, and the sixth unfolding of the divine law was written in the minds and the hearts of man. Is everybody with me? Go to Ezekiel 36. Praise God, we're closing in. Ezekiel 36. And a child shall be born, and the law shall be given. Ezekiel 36 and 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed where? In you before their eyes. In us. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you what?
A new heart
and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you the heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase all your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. So we see here that Ezekiel prophesied that God would put his laws in our hearts and in our minds. Amen? And that was the sixth unfolding of God's divine revelation, divine law. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that he was going to do it by, he says, but by his spirit, wasn't he? He's going to do it by His Spirit. So there are seven revelations of God's presence, not seven manifestations, seven revelations, and they are in Isaiah 11. Yes. And the word revelation means to what? Reveal something, isn't it? And I will give you my Spirit and cause you to walk in my ways, in my law. And it was prophesied by Brother Isaiah in verse 2 in chapter 11, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, right? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear or reverence of the Lord. Those are several revelations of God's presence. They're actually His characters. The sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. God expressed His, He revealed. In other words, without revelation of understanding and wisdom and knowledge of the ways of God, you won't get it, will you? No way, you just can't. So you got to understand that these are revelations, seven revelations of God's presence, not manifestations, and don't confuse them. Revelation means revealing. So how is it being revealed? Through the Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Does everybody understand that? Not manifestation. Gifts are used for manifestation. Wisdom and knowledge and so forth are used for revelation. Amen? Even when you pray in the Spirit, what are you doing? You're manifesting the revelation of the things of God, aren't you? Amen? And as you express the revelations, what happens? Manifestations of the Spirit come by the gift, don't they? Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. So there's a difference between revelation and manifestation, isn't there? Good. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's go to... I'm going to skip that one. Go to 2 Corinthians. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, right? Okay. And verse 1. 1 through 6. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are what? Our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Now understand something. The seventh fold or unfolding of God's divine law is manifested through your outwardness. See, he said he wrote it inward, didn't he? The seventh writing is through your outwardness. In true reality, it's written on your flesh. Because if you'll stay in the Spirit, your flesh is going to manifest the law. Does everybody get it? And now listen. It goes right back then, doesn't it? God expressing His written law through His what? Creation. Come on, let's finish this. That's why it's redemption. Okay, let's finish this. And we have such trust, verse 4, through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of what? The new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives. Hallelujah. So now, this is what happened. The Bible says that the law became flesh. Now your flesh became the law.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3. Yes, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Wow. Which temple you are. Now, God also expresses Himself in seven ways through the body of Christ. He expresses Himself. Go to Ephesians 4. And verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And the Word says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now I want you to understand something. There's two other offices that are not mentioned here. He expresses Himself as Son and priest. And then the fivefold ministry. Seven expressions. He expresses Himself through the body of Christ. That He, others will be looking at you as a son or a daughter of God Almighty. Right? As a priest.
Amen.
As an apostle, prophet, evangelist, a teacher, pastor, whatever it is. So God expresses Himself through the body of Christ in these seven offices. Two that are always, five that are earned. Amen? Praise God. So you and I are the temple of God, aren't we? Go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Okay. Turn to Galatians 5, and I just want to read you a little bit left in Ephesians 4. Because it says that He gave these offices for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Has everybody got it? Okay. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away about every wind of doctrine, by which the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Amen? So God expresses Himself through the body of Christ in those seven expressions. Hallelujah. In Galatians 5, because you and I are the body of, we are the temple, we all have a part and we are a member of the body of Christ. In verse 13, would you read it with me? For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now he gives the expression of the fruits of His Spirit, because the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. In verse 22, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are Christ, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen?
Amen?
So we see that the sevenfold of God's divine law was, number one, first expressed through nature of creation. Number two, through the conscience of man. Number three, written on tablets, giving commandments He gave to Moses. Number four, manifested by God Himself who came. And the law was manifested in the flesh, known as the Word. Number five, was written in the Scriptures of the New Covenant, fulfilling the Old Covenant through Jesus. Number six, was written in the hearts and the minds of man. And number seven is actually manifested through the flesh of man and written in the flesh of man. Has everybody got it?
Yes.
Praise God. Now I want to share one other thing with you, and you can just write this down. Remember I shared with you about the law of entrance into the world to sustain God's presence that God gave Adam. Amen? Well, there's also the law of exit, and they are known as the seven letters to the church in the book of Revelation. They are known as the seven law, the sevenfold, or the seven expressions of God's law of exit. In the book of Revelation, there are seven letters that are written. He says, "He who has an ear, let him. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Those letters were written for a safe exit to make it home. Does everybody understand that? And they were written to the body of Christ. So God expressed Himself through creation and law. He gave laws to Adam as a law of entrance. And Adam blew it. And Adam was exited from God's presence. And the Word tells us that we are to continue the law that's been imparted in me and you, in our spirit, in our hearts, in our minds, that we're to continue in this law so that we can maintain God's presence. And then there's a law of exit, and those are the seven letters written in the book of Revelations that we can, if we're submissive to those things, to the check us, things that we missed, so that we can make it home safely.
Amen?
Amen? And the Word became flesh, and a child was born among us. And He left us His name, His blood, His Word, and His Spirit. He left us His power, and He's still expressing Himself through me and you, through His body, and through individuals. Let your light shine as we celebrate the birth of Christ again this year. There's a lot more than just some little kid coming in, sitting in a manger. There's a lot more than wise men showing up 2 years later to give him gifts. There's a lot more. He was God Almighty. May He grant us the comprehension and understanding of His depth, width, length, and height of who He truly is. To the creation of His universe, to the boundaries of His time, and to the eternal love of His glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,